Whoa, that's a lot of people. My name is Joe, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you all for being here. It means a lot to me because I need you guys. I never thought I could ever say that, especially not in the beginning when I entered the rooms of AA, because I was one of those cocky guys, you know. I thought I knew everything. I thought I could get the world on my side and get people to do my thoughts and my will, and it never worked. And it never worked. Nobody listened to me. They all did their own stuff, as I did my own stuff. So I was sharing in the meeting there, the last meeting with the convention team from 5 till 10 past 6. And I was amazed over the amount of people that were there on a Friday afternoon, because most years when I attend this convention, there's only on a Friday afternoon, I think, like 20 or 30 people attending at meetings, if that much. But now I did the count, and then I ended up on 75 people, and people who were standing in the hallway who couldn't get in. So AA keeps amazing me, and the higher power keeps amazing me, how it works. And sometimes when people like me, who are in AA and who have listened to all your stories and all of your encounters with alcohol and the disease of alcohol, it shook me up. It woke me up, because before I entered the rooms of AA, I always thought I was alone. I was alone fighting against something which I couldn't win off. I knew that a couple of years before I entered the rooms of AA. And I didn't know what to do with myself. I was scared of myself. I was scared of my reactions. I was scared of what I might do if I had another blackout while drinking. And I was petrified that something very bad would happen, because once I was driving my car with a friend of mine in the city of Antwerp, drunk as hell, and I saw people jumping away on the footpath, the pedestrian path, jumping away. I was driving over a pedestrian path, you know, and those flashes regularly came back to me. And there's also a lot of other stuff that I don't want to bore you with, because everybody has his story in AA. Everybody had to go his way to AA to become, which I heard from other people, to become teachable again, to take their own lives again in hands, as I wanted to do, because I lost my own life. I was lost with myself. I didn't know what to do with myself anymore. And I desperately wanted to be seen off as a good husband, as a loving father, and for sure I didn't want to be the bum that I was at that time. So to cut a long story short, somebody who I love very dearly took me to my first meeting and got me on the path, on the road to happiness. Mario, this is for you, the road to happiness. And it worked from day one, and I'm still very grateful for that, because there where I had never thought that I, Joe, the crazy drunk, could recover, there the miracle happened in a way. And now I know why, because my ears were open at that time, and I didn't have to be in charge anymore about everything, people, things, places, situations, whatever. But it wasn't easy, because, you know, entering the rooms of AA, you see all these people there, like entering this convention today. The people come in and you see happy faces. I wasn't a happy face, you know, when I entered the rooms of AA. I was a lemon face, you know. They put my head in lemon, covered it with lemon, and the acid was wrinkling my face, and my mouth was lower there, and my lip was hanging to my knees. But I saw these people being happy, joyous and free, and I wondered what they had, you know. I wanted to laugh again, I wanted to be happy. And not only with those people, but I wanted to be happy with myself. Because that's also this convention theme, to thine own self be true. I wanted to be true to myself, to be able to enjoy life again. Because you know what? When I wasn't drinking, lots of my friends and people and my wife and family, they were all saying, Joe, you're a chum guy when you're not drinking. We can have a lot of fun with you. You act normal, and you tell sometimes crazy stuff, okay? But you're fun to be with. But Joe, once you start drinking, you're not the same Joe that we know. You change. And there's a passage in the big book. I don't know the pages. I don't know the big book by heart. I know much of the literature not by heart. But I know that it's the language of the heart. And there's a passage in the big book that says, it's the story of Jekyll and Hyde. And it fits me just right, because I was Jekyll and Hyde. If I didn't drink, I didn't change. My disease didn't take over, and I was a chum guy. But once I started drinking, I was the devil himself. I was verbally aggressive, physically aggressive. I didn't know what to do with myself. I was a pain in the ass. I know that. My wife knows that too. She put up with me for all these years, and she stayed with me. And I'm very grateful to her for that. But there's also one thing that I've learned then, in all the turmoil that I was in at that moment. There was still my conscience there saying, Joe, you really want to go further on this path? Do you really want to self-destruct yourself? Because that's what I was doing. And some people will say, okay, you didn't go all the way down, because I always say when I share in the meeting, I wasn't the daily drinker yet. I didn't need drink in the morning to stop the shakes. I wasn't there yet. I was still financially sound. But I was on the way. I wasn't there yet. And I still had a house. I still had my wife. Although the luggage was in the hallway and I just had to pick it up. And the roads were free. I could drink myself to oblivion. But I made a decision, and I still remember it very clearly, because emotionally I was drained. I couldn't go on anymore. When I looked at my situation, I said, do you really want to live your life like this? Do you really want to agonize everybody around you and yourself? I wasn't able to look in the mirror anymore. Because the Joe that I saw in the mirror, it wasn't the Joe that I liked. And the reflection of that mirror was telling me, man, you failed. And it was in my face, literally. It was in my face. And I think I stood at that time 5 minutes in front of the mirror in the bathroom. And I was crying. The tears were rolling off my cheeks. And I never told this. This is the first time I tell this. And I said, there has to be a way out of it. And then my wife came and she said, why don't you talk to my dad? And her dad was a long time in AA. And we gathered up and And I went to my first meeting. But I still remember that feeling of helplessness and powerlessness over myself, like a shower coming over me, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go, but I knew I needed help. I knew that was my bubble, you know? I knew this is it. And once I made this decision and entered the rooms of AA, my life started to change. And they asked me all kinds of things in AA, and I didn't like what they asked of me. They said, you gotta be honest with yourself. Yeah, okay, I'll try. They say, don't pick up the first drink. Yeah, that was easy. That was the easiest part, in a way, after 3 weeks. After pouring liters and liters of water in my mouth to stop the craving, and every 10 minutes go to the loo because my bladder was full, I was drinking this much water. But I made it. And just by accepting, yeah, that's what it, just by accepting that I had a big issue with alcohol, and the people in the rooms of AA just told me, don't worry about that, just don't drink, just come to meetings and just do like we did. And sharing their stories and passing on their strength, hope with me, that gave me a lot of hope and strength to carry on, to keep coming back and to attend these meetings and to be around all of you guys and to learn from you guys, because I didn't know sometimes most of the time, how to behave in this world, you know? I didn't know. I thought it was all about me, but it's not about me. I'm not God. I will never be God. Luckily, as I progressed toward this convention and I took up the position for chair last year, I was vice chair, I was here on stage, also nervous as hell, and announcing all the speakers and everything. I wanted to do something back for what I received, you know? Because again, that is something, it's not about me. I have to pass this on. That's what people taught me in AA. You can't keep it. Once you receive it, you can't keep it. You have to give it away. So that brought me to where I am now. And I'm very happy that I'm doing this. Because this experience for me is now, the nervousness is a little bit away, and it's a little bit cleansing, you know? So, and I don't want to be cocky or anything, because AA asked for me that I'll be humble, huh? So I have to remain humble, but the path towards a convention like this isn't an easy part, you know? There's a lot of work involved, and I'm happy to have a good crew of people behind me that helped me, and I'm very grateful for that. And along this path also came a little bit of sorrow, because sometimes, not always, but sometimes people do not want to listen, like I didn't want to listen. Like people sometimes have to be made awake again, or shook a little bit. And sometimes that worked, but I don't do these actions anymore like I used to do. Before I was very verbally aggressive klanerend. Belittling. Yeah, thank you. So AA taught me different ways to interact with people, and that was very important to me. But sometimes still I fall into the booby trap that my emotions as an alcoholic still take over. And there's the hard part there, where my emotions take over and get me a resentment, get me in anger, and take over my alcoholic mind. Because this disease is a disease of the body, but also very much of the mind, you know? And my mind can tell me stories that make me crazy and make me do things that I don't want to do, or make me do things that the program says, Joe, you're not on the right track here. Go back to your steps. Go back reading your big book. Consult your sponsor, very important, because he's a little bit God to me sometimes, my sponsor. Although he's not, but he's got more experience than me. To prove to you how cocky I was, it almost took me 9 years in AA before I asked somebody to be a sponsor of mine. 9 years. I know some people in AA who got a sponsor from day one. They said, here, this is the person, that's your sponsor, go ahead. Okay. Joe here, 9 years. Just to describe how cocky I was. And it's not because I didn't drink anymore from day one that I knew everything or that I could understand everything. The stopping of drinking, of taking alcohol in my body, only lifted up the fog in my mind. But for the rest, it was still an alcoholic mind. So my thoughts had to be changed. And it's stated everywhere in the literature, and I could hear people share about that, and without change there is no progress in AA. And that's a fact. And that's what I've experienced too. Because to stay in the same place in AA is to make no progress. And that means for me, go back to my alcoholic drinking and go back to my alcoholic ways. Because they're still there, you know. In my home group, I often share that I have a devil on my shoulder and I have an angel on my shoulder. And sometimes they talk to my head, you know. And the devil says, oh, Joe, you don't dare to do this. Oh, come on, you shitty ass. Try this and this and this and this. And then the angel comes in. And for me, the angel is still my higher power, you know. It talks to me and says, Joe, why? You don't have to prove anything anymore. You have a happy life. Be content with what you have. You still have your job. You still have your wife. You have a house. You have a car. You have everything. You're healthy. You have everything you want. But still my mind goes, no, I want more. I want more. I want more. I want this and this and this and this and this. And I know I can't handle some things like that. And that's when the white angel starts talking to me. And then there's only one thing the white angel says to me. Get your ass to a meeting. And most of the time, the devil falls off when I'm at the meeting. Or when I say my prayer to give me serenity and to accept the things that I cannot change. Because life is still life and shit will happen. Believe me. I had my fair share of shit, and it wasn't easy, and I cried a lot, and but I came through it. I came through it. Sometimes I hardly even want. I came through it with the help of my family, and with the help of AA, and with the help of my higher power. And sometimes even AA couldn't help in some situations. Sometimes I had to go to my knees and ask, please God help me with this, because I cannot cope with this. And but it made me to what I am now. and it made me, hopefully, when I look in the mirror now and I see myself, I'm not scared of myself anymore. I can look myself straight in the eye now. Because I don't have anything to hide anymore. I clean my house like AA suggests Or at least I try to clean as much as possible, because there's still some rubbish there in the backpack. Where the backpack in the beginning was like pulling me backwards from the weight of all the shit that was in there, now I can walk a little bit normally again. So, to conclude my share, and I don't want to take up your time any longer, you know, before you do a share, weeks and weeks before, I was thinking, what will I say, what will I do? I prepared all kinds of things in my head, on paper, on my laptop, all kinds of things. What can I do? What can I say? And I just went up the stage and I'm saying completely different things that I wanted to say. But this is a part of me, Joe speaking, and another part, this area here, and that's the language of the heart. It's what comes up in my mind and in my heart that I want to say to you. So I started off with the first thing that struck me in AA, and that was this one. Who me? And then I answered, and then somebody said, yeah, why not you? And that's what it is. Why not me? If this is the solution, don't take the first drink anymore. Why not? And yes, I try to be honest and everything which I wrote down here on this little paper. But there's one more thing I want to share with you, and I want to read it to you, because that refers to the Who Me, the brochure many of us have gotten while entering the rooms of AA. And I want to share with you the poem that's in there. And it's the poem about the man in the glass. And it refers to the mirror I was talking about. And then I'm stopping and I'm passing it on to all of you, okay? So, when you get what you want in your struggle for self, and the world makes you king for a day, just go to a mirror and look at yourself and see what that man has to say, or woman. For it isn't your father or mother or wife whose judgment upon you you must pass. The fellow whose verdict counts most in your life is the one staring back from the glass. Some people may think you are a straight shooting chum and call you a wonderful guy, but the man in the glass says you're only a bum if you can't look him straight in the eye. He's the fellow to please, never mind all the rest, for he's with you up to the end, and you've passed your most dangerous, difficult test, if the man in the glass is your friend. You may fool the whole world down the pathway of life and get pats on your back as you pass, but your final reward will be heartaches and tears if you cheated the man in the glass. I thank you all for being here.